Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text for today is God's Word in the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 12. It was read earlier, very excellently, by the way, by Sue. The letter to the Hebrews. Well, what is the letter to the Hebrews? Who are the Hebrews? Hebrews are the people of Israel, the Jews. And this letter was written to them in the first century to encourage them to stay steadfast in their faith in Jesus Christ, who is the Messiah, the long-promised Messiah of Israel. And just like those early Jewish Christians, we read it today for God's help in resisting all temptations in our lives to live unrepentant lives, lives of disobedience. We need help in that. And God's Word provides it. God's Word provides us help in resisting the temptation also to forsake our public confession of our faith. We need help in that too. God's Word is here to provide it. One of the ways it helps us is by reminding us what it means to be in the family of God. That's what we're going to talk about today. Now, we just sang about it in the hymn. You are members of the family of God by baptism. If you don't believe me, read the hymn again. If you don't believe that, read Romans or Galatians or Ephesians. You are members of the family of God by baptism. Okay? So that's the starting point for you and me as we talk about this Epistle of Hebrews. Okay? That's our starting point. Okay? We're going to build from there. What does that mean? What does it mean to be part of the family of God? It means big things. Okay. End of the introduction. As the apostles John and Paul teach, the privilege of being accepted as the children of God belongs to all sinners, even non-Jews, who through trust in the only begotten Son of God are counted as offspring and heirs along with Him. So in that Old Testament reading that we had from Isaiah 66, where it talks about, this is, by the way, this is the very end of the book of Isaiah. He's talking about what? He's talking about all the people who are going to be gathered from the ends of the earth. Okay? From all those places mentioned in the Old Testament. Okay? Where the sons of Cain and Seth spread out to. All those people are going to be gathered together. That's us. Okay? The new Israel. The people who have been grafted in to the promise through Jesus Christ. Through faith in Christ. Okay? That's the new Israel. That's what you get in baptism. Okay? That's our starting point. Okay. Now, what does it mean? Okay. A few things. What are the implications for living a life in the family of God? First thing, we are reminded that afflictions in our life, afflictions in the life of a Christian, are our Father's discipline for us, of His beloved children. What does this mean? Good Lutheran question. What does this mean? When I was a kid, okay, I'm going to tell you a kid story. I was, guess what? I sinned, okay? I did something wrong, and I'm going to tell you only one of what happened, okay? I don't even remember what it was. But I had to get a spanking from my father. All right, my dad, for some reason, my dad got elected. My mom didn't want to do it. So when he came home from work, Jeff, we are going to have a conversation. So we went into my bedroom. I admitted what I had done wrong. I don't remember what it was, or I would have told you, but I don't remember what it was. And my dad said to me, okay, well, you know what this means. Yeah? Jeff, I'm going to have to give you a spanking because I want you to learn from this.
Okay.
And this is what I said to my dad. I said, you know, you're a young boy and you're trying to grow up to be a man, okay? What does a man do when he's got to face the music? Dad, is it okay if I cry this time? And my dad had the hardest time ever giving a spanking. He said that was the hardest spanking he ever had to give. My dad didn't give us a lot of spankings, but... And it was probably the softest one I ever got. Because it's hard to be a father. It's hard to be a parent. Okay? We've got a heavenly Father who knows this as well as you and I know it. You know? I don't know. Most of you, many of you have been parents or are parents. Okay? I know all of you have parents or had parents. Right? You've gone all through this. What did you learn? What did you learn from that? You've got a Heavenly Father who's giving you 66 books in the Bible telling you how to live, how to avoid problems. Okay? Do we do it? As parents, what do you tell your children? Don't put your hand on the stove, especially when it's hot. Why? Because you're going to burn yourself. Okay. Sometimes, do they listen to you? Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes they got to figure it out yourself. Is that avoidable? Yes. If you listen to your father or your mother. But do we listen to our Heavenly Father? How many times did our Lord, did God say to the children of Israel, don't chase after all these foreign gods. I'm giving you this new promised land. Don't chase after all these foreign gods. What do? How many times don't we listen to our parents? Okay? How many times do you think our Heavenly Father has said, if I were him, he'd be like, it's one of those eye rolls, you know? Will they ever listen? Think of all the consequences we could avoid if we listened to our Heavenly Father. Our scripture lesson today in Hebrews talks about a couple of guys, Abel and Esau. I'm going to try to talk about both of them. First, Esau. Okay? You remember Jacob and Esau? Esau sold his birthright as the firstborn son to whom? To Jacob, who tricked him out of it. And our lesson says he wanted it back. Okay? And there was no opportunity for repentance. Does that mean God doesn't give you an opportunity for repentance? No. It means sometimes there's consequences that are too late. Once you sold your birthright, it was gone, Esau. Once you drive 80 miles an hour in a 65-mile zone and you get pulled over, well, you can say you're sorry and you repent as many times as you want. You're still going to get a ticket. You put your hand on the stove, you can say you're sorry, but you got the marks for where you're burned. There are consequences to sin, okay? Earthly consequences that you're going to live with. Let's take Cain and Abel. Abel's mentioned at the very end of our reading today, right? Cain and Abel, you know the story. Adam and Eve have their first two sons, okay? The older Cain, the younger Abel. They grow up and they go out to produce things in the field, food and everything. They bring offerings to the Lord. Cain's offering is rejected by the Lord because he brings it in, well, let's just say, bad faith. Abel's offering, a grain offering, and you can look at all that references to the grain offering and the clean vessel in Isaiah. Well, Abel brings an offering of his first fruits to the Lord, okay, and offers them to the Lord in thankfulness. And his offering is acceptable and pleasing to God. So what does Cain do? Does he mend his ways? Does he repent? No. What does he do? He gets mad at Abel. Okay? It's called jealousy. Brothers do that. Siblings do that. Sisters do it too. Well, Cain goes, calls Abel out into the field, and what does he do? He kills him. All right? Don't do that, by the way. Rule number 5. Okay? 10 Commandments. And our reading today says, Genesis 4 says, Abel's blood cries out to me. That's what God said to Cain when he called him on it. Okay? And Cain had to bear the consequences. But what are the consequences of sin? You've got to live with that guilt, and Cain thought he was going to have to die for it. The Lord had mercy on him. But Abel's blood cried out. Crying for what? What do we do in our lives? What do we think of as human justice? Vengeance. Abel's blood for vengeance. Tooth for a tooth, an eye for an eye, a life for a life. That's why Cain thought he was going to be killed. That's our justice. What's God's justice? What's God's justice? A life for a life? Well, guess what? He gave his son's life, Jesus' life. That's the life that paid for Abel's blood. That's the life that paid for yours, for your sins and for mine. Given to you as a gift of forgiveness in holy baptism. So you're members of the family, with Jesus as your older brother, who shows you the way how to act. Okay. So what does Hebrews then tell us about living in God's family with all these afflictions and the consequences of sin that we still have to live with? Why do people suffer? Do you come here to hear why you shouldn't have to suffer? Because you're not going to hear that. If you come here to listen to God's Word doesn't say everything's going to be rosy for you. Once you're a Christian, boy, it's going to be easy. Is that what God's Word says? No. If somebody's preaching that to you, it's false. But Jesus says, you're going to have crosses to bear. You're going to have losses and grief in your life. You're going to be persecuted. You haven't been persecuted to the point of shedding your blood yet and killed as a martyr. Now, you don't need to go out and seek that. But the point is, God's here with you to go through all that with you. He sent His Son to die on the cross for you, to go through that with you, to show His love for you. How does the Father show His love? By sacrifice, by forgiveness. And it's hard. Being a parent is hard, hard work. Because sometimes you don't know, do I show grace here and forgiveness, or do I have to show them the law? Do they need to know what the consequences are so they'll avoid them in the future? Or can I forgive them and show them God's love, my love? And whatever you do, it's hard. You know, well, that's a hard choice. You give the spanking when your son says, can I cry? Or not? You ask for God's help in making that decision, and you know one thing that you can trust in, as a parent or as a child, you're a child of God, and He knows the right answer. And when He disciplines you and chastises you, He's trying to bring you back to Christ, to who He is and who loves you and who's always there for you to go through all of these afflictions in your life with you. To show you the way. To go through the way with you. And maybe, sometimes, through your suffering, you can help show your brother or your sister the way to Christ too. Sometimes that's hard to see. But I can see it in you. I've been here a year, and I've seen it in you. Who have taken care of each other. Who have loved each other through death, through injury and disease. That's God at work. That's your family at work. Showing you the love of your brother Jesus Christ. You get to do this. It's part of God's family work. Okay, that's 2 points. One, you get to do that. One, sometimes God is driving you to Himself by discipline. And the third point is you get to look forward to the new heavenly Jerusalem. It doesn't, this earthly life, these afflictions that we go through when you're not feeling well, when you've lost someone, when your kid doesn't listen to you, when you're sure, you're 100% sure that your dad's punishing you the wrong way. And even if he is, guess what? All of this ends because you're going to live a new life, a resurrected life without sin and without all the consequences of sin, which we don't even think about. That's what we have to live in. That's life in God's family too. It's life that's just begun in our baptism. The life that we're going to live forever together in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.